Here, and her presence is still heavy in the air. Oh, what a taste of human love. Now she's gone, and it don't matter anymore.
One of my friends said that music doesn't really mean much until you've broken up with someone, and I know where he's coming from. Anyway, breakup songs are one of the best purposes, I think, of pop music. We knew that we couldn't do a complete survey of all breakup songs, but I guess we wanted to just talk about some of our favorites. What's on this list of breakup songs that you've brought here? I'm dying to hear what you've got.
I think I'm going to start off more in the schmoopy poo vein and then kind of go to the angrier vein.
Good, we need angry because I'm strictly schmoopy poo.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I kind of got disgusted with myself after, like, writing down all the schmoopy poo, like, songs. And
right.
Like, come on.
Okay.
So I would say on the schmoopy poo end of the breakup song list is probably First Cut is the Deepest.
God, not the Sheryl Crow version.
No. And I'll be say specifically the Rod Stewart version.
Okay.
Because Cat Stevens is a little too schmoopy poo in general.
I haven't heard the Cat Stevens version. Did he wrote that song apparently?
Yeah, he wrote it. He wrote it. And he's just, I don't know, a little too much Tender Ponies for me. First Cut is the Deepest I've used on a couple different breakups.
It was used on a couple different... You say that like it's a commercial.
Yeah.
It was used on a couple different...
I used that track on a couple different breakups. You know, it fit really well. Free Again by Alex Chilton. I remember breaking up with, like, the arc of a breakup. You know, like, the first... For me, like, the first month is like, yeah!
Oh, my God, me too!
I should have done this, like, 8 months ago!
Yeah.
And I remember listening to Free Again. Do you know that song?
I was just thinking I should have done this 3 years ago, but no, I don't know that song.
Free again to do what I want again. Free again. Da da da. Like uses free again and free again and free again like ad nauseum. But it's all like I'm free again to be out in the world again or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so like for the first month after a breakup, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I am free again. Then the semi-truck of, you know, aftermath just leveled my head and, you know, just ran over me. And that's when I was like, oh, I don't want to be free again.
Well, I'm free again to do what I want again. Free
my God. It's so, what you're saying is so true, and it's so deceptive, because there is this rush of vertigo slash euphoria after during a breakup that kind of, like, it's almost like a booster rocket that almost gets you through the out of the orbit of this relationship, but not quite.
Nope.
And I end up falling, crashing back.
Totally. And you're like, great, I can get laid again by whoever I want.
I can
go
be a total slut.
I can hit on chicks, and I can, awesome, you know?
Yeah,
and then, forget about it.
Yeah. Actually, what it comes down to is, like, nobody's calling on Friday night, and I'm like, should I rent a video?
Right.
Should I get some sushi? You know,
right.
Should I call that guy that's in love with me that I totally don't like at all? you know
good
what
times,
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to forget you anymore. I've got back into remembering all the love we had before. And I've been trying to forget someone that my heart still adores. So I'm not trying to forget you anymore.
Definitely the godfather of sadcore is Willie Nelson, without question.
Okay, Ian, what do you mean?
First, the interesting thing about Willie Nelson is he doesn't get credit for this. When people talk about Willie Nelson, like, never do they mention writes the saddest songs ever written by anyone, period. And they're so sad. The reason that Willie Nelson does it so good is because they're all so positive. That he puts a positive spin on everything. You know, it's if you'd only come over, I'm sure that you'd see we're not lonely, my cricket and me. Right? It's the most heartbreaking thing you've ever heard, but it's not, he's like, no, I'm cool. You should come by and check it out. We're not lonely, me and my cricket. What are you thinking? But he did this record in 96 called Spirit, which it was on Island, and he's on the cover just looking like he's made of leather. And it's basically either him and a piano or him piano guitar. It's all really small arrangements. And just the most beautiful, saddest songs ever, such as I'm Not Trying to Forget You Anymore. I don't think anyone has ever done it as well as he has. It's, you know, you could listen to, you know, anything from Elliott Smith to Tindersticks to Joy Division, and it won't destroy you in the same way. I had a friend once who was going through a breakup, and she called and was crying, and, you know, I don't know what to do, and I just want to get it all out. And I said, you should go buy this record. I didn't know if I was going to kill her or if I was going to save her.
Right.
But I loved it so much, and it was, I don't know, it was just such a sort of an everyman relationship kind of record.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat.
If it's a new rap breakup song, then it's not a rap song, it's an R&B song, right? Almost by definition.
Right.
But in the old days, they used to do real hip-hop breakup songs. And one of them, Main Source, had I'm Looking at the Front Door. And then there was, there's actually a really classic Common song too, the I Used to Love Her, which is an amazing song anyway. It was on the second Common record when he was still called Common Sense. That record's called Resurrection. And it's I Used to Love Her, and it's all about this girl that he used to love, and, you know, until, like, basically everybody came in and started stealing his woman. But the whole song is about hip-hop. So he's using the metaphor of hip-hop as the woman, and it's all I Used to Love Her. It's really amazing. It's probably his best thing ever.
Are you saying that it's really a song about hip-hop being taken over?
Yeah, it's really a song about how hip-hop used to be great, and now, you know, now she's, you know, doing every guy in the park.
Always smoking blunts and getting drunk, telling me sad stories. Now she only fucks with the funk, stressing how hardcore and real she is. She was really the realest before she got into showbiz. I did her, not just to say I did it, but I'm committed. But so many niggas hit it that she's just not the same, letting all these goofies do her. I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer, but I'ma take her back, hoping that this shit stop. Cause who I'm talking about, y'all, is hip-hop. It's hip-hop, it's hip-hop, it's hip-hop.
Forgotten you long ago, but you're course, but no, you can't have a divorce. I haven't seen you in ages, but it's not as bleak as it seems. We still dance on whirling stages in my Busby Berkeley dream.
Hillary, tell me the specifics of that awful breakup. You know the one.
But what happened was, I dumped my boyfriend, but it wasn't like this victorious dumping. Like, I dumped him because he felt awful about myself. Yeah. And so I was feeling horrible.
Do we have a name for that? You felt more dumped.
Yeah. I felt more dumped than he did.
It's like a backwards dump.
Yeah, I felt awful. I knew it had to be over because if I didn't finish it, I would be like in a bathtub with my wrist slit.
Oh my God, I've done that so many times.
Yeah, so I just was like, okay.
That's like when the guy makes you dump him.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's true.
It's a passive dumping.
But anyway, I went to my corner record store and I bought every single Magnetic Fields record that they had and I put them up on the counter and the fellow who was working at the shop was actually the owner. And he looked at the stack of Magnetic Fields records and looked up at my face and said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I got dumped." I mean, I just told him I got dumped to make, you know, to make the story easier. And
right.
He was like, "All right, you know, hang in there." And this was like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago. And just recently, I was at a Neil Young concert and I saw this guy, the owner of the record store. And I said, "Do you I have the nicest story about you?" And I had just been dumped, and I bought all these Magnetic Fields records, and you asked me if I was okay. And he goes, "I remember that. I remember you." I was like, "Well, I'm all right now." But it was nice. And at the time, I had a nice, big, huge 5-CD changer, so I could put all 4 of my Magnetic Fields CDs in at once and just play it and like, walk around and, like, hold my cat and like just stroke my kitty and be sad. I don't think I did much else. I think I smoked a lot and the records made me feel better.
The tears have stained all the pages of my True Romance magazines. We still dance in my outrageously beautiful Busby Berkeley dreams. Do you think it's dangerous to have Busby Berkeley dreams?
I had an epiphany where I was dealing with a sort of what a lot of people would call a bad relationship. If you've ever been in one, you know what I mean. When it's like everyone on the outside says that's a bad relationship, but you know you're getting something out of it that's internal that isn't apparent yet.
If you decide you need me, I'll be wondering if I care.
I was dealing with sort of the fallout of a bad relationship and the burden of memory. And the Kinks song, Days, it's a song looking back on an unhealthy relationship and saying thank you to the lover.
Thank you for the day.
Real love can happen in really, really messed up situations, and that's kind of what that song is saying. So when I heard that song, and sort of a joyful, with pride, proclaiming this messed up love, I was like, wow, that's a whole new way of looking at it. Like, even when love is so-called bad, it's still a gift. It's something to celebrate and write songs about. It's something that you live makes you a person. It makes you a deeper, more interesting person, even getting hurt. And then you can write a song about it. So that kind of like showed me the creativity that can come out of being hurt. And like, I don't have to be ashamed because I was in a bad relationship. That's the other thing, because people always try to make you feel like you're messed up. And doesn't mean you're messed up. It just means you love. You loved somebody. And I don't know if I've conveyed to you the lesson I learned from it. Did I convey it? The lesson is simply, you can celebrate a bad love. Celebrate it, be grateful for it. It's love. Pop Vultures is produced by Prairie Home Productions and presented by American Public Media. The show's creators are Catherine Slusher, Tiffany Hansen, Jason Keeler, Garrison Keeler, and me. This week's guests were Boz Dreisinger, Hillary Churchill, Jeff Whalen, Benno Nelson, and Ian Rogers. Until next week, to paraphrase the movie Harold and Maude, give me an L, give me an O, give me a V, give me an E, L-O-V-E, love. Otherwise, you've got nothing to talk about in the locker room.
American Public Media.